Andrew, Secretary of the Air Force's office. I'm interviewing Robert, and your middle initial? Robert G. Blankenship. I'm in Arlington, Virginia, and Mr. Blankenship is in La Luz, New Mexico. So, Mr. Blankenship, if you could just state your name and where you live. I'd like to just to talk to you about these recovery missions. How many missions would you say over from October 55 until you retired in 1985, roughly, how many would you say you participated in? describe typically, for a typical mission, how many people you would have with you, and were they military, civilian, or a mix?
Most of the time they were military, other than themselves. And the reason for themselves is the responsibility and the area. Backside of either Great Mountain. The upper wind flow 6 months out of the year when the heat and the other 6 months away, the wind will turn around and get around far and start back to the west.
How many people would you have with you, typically, personnel?
Typically, they would be
about eight. Did any of the military people or you, yourself, did anyone carry weapons?
No. No
weapons. No weapons. Okay. Were some of these payloads that time, did security people ever go along with you guys?
I recall on a few occasions where we didn't have the military police go with us. But as I recall,
if you could just walk me through a balloon mission, let's say that launched from Holloman, and how would you go about it? I spoke with Mr. Gildenberg, and he described how he would forecast the winds, and he would determine where he thought the balloon was going to come down, and then he would give the recovery people some instructions. So starting to Holloman and moving out on a balloon recovery mission, how did you guys operate? So, where would you typically set up the theodolite and park your vehicles? So you'd pull your four military vehicles along the side of the road, wherever you could, felt was good, you would set up. There'd be cars traveling by, seeing you guys out there.
Yeah.
then you got your theodolite set up, you're in communication with the aircraft, with the control center. Then you would wait for the balloon to come into view? Was that the procedure?
Well, we would have to have 90 in order to see the satellite. And a lot of times it would be just to say the control room would be able to see elevation angle and measurement angle and looking for the head up on the satellite and see the landmark for getting a steady step.
And then the balloon, as the balloon came closer, did you then reposition yourself to get to a recovery?
Yes, when the balloon was approaching the termination area, they would try to position us along with it parallel to the view, be right at the landing of the station.
Okay, so to get there, would you mostly ranch land in New Mexico and Arizona and Texas?
Yeah.
How did you get to?
The aircraft would pick out the road, and a lot of it would be just, trail. Line above it, he would pick out the best accessible route to the impact area, and he would direct us which road to take and which gate to go through, and put us right in the area. Prior to this, we would try to notify the sheriff's department of the local police in the impact area, so they would be aware of. And if possible, if there was a farmhouse or a ranch house in the area, we check with the cell phone and information to go on the property. If it was a very desperate, isolated area, no houses, we would leave a pre-typed note telling what the meeting was.
Did you ever have to cut a fence or anything like that?
No. The aircraft directs to a gate in the road and give us access, a route to go. Oh, I tell you, down in the southwest, the farmers and ranchers are typically obsessed with some of them. Oh, they do. If you don't see somebody cutting a fence, that's like cutting a log. You don't cut a log, you don't cut a
the reasons why they wanted you on this job. Wasn't
well,
it? Did you do the area?
I knew the area. And I was from the country. And I didn't have a problem getting along with people. I knew their ways. And I conversed with them and have rarely been able to have a problem. Knowing that he was trying to catch up with him, he goes to the gate and closes the gate and comes up on the top and open and he finally opens the door. He wanted to open what we were doing, so we told him what we do operating the door.
Wasn't there with his rifle, that's the important thing.
That was important. The pilot asked him why we stopped, because he's been running toward a few and was wanting to get on. I told him what the situation was, but he didn't know. He couldn't contact the base himself.
That brings me to a question. How often did the Army recover things off the range?
Over to the Army with regard to missile recovery on range. It once played off range, it happened.
I found some notes in a history book about written about the days there at Holloman, and it shows that the recovery rate, like in, I believe in 1953, 1954, was only like 35%. Whereas after you took over in about like 50, by 58, it had risen to like, I believe, 95%. Do you remember that being a problem, recovering the payloads? Some of the payloads were never recovered at all, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Occasionally?
On a rare occasion. And, whoever it was,
back to the civilian, when you drop payloads, would civilians be there to watch you recover occasionally?
A lot of times,
okay. So it would be reasonable to think that sometimes up with land, civilians maybe get there first, be wondering what the heck it is, and then you guys would show up?
Yeah. Thank you.
I catch you then.